You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So I'll do a really quick recap on where we were last week. I've been trying to do a lot of visual imagery stuff because visual imagery really, really helps me. So if you were here the very first week, I got hold of an orange. Do you remember the orange? And I had a jug of water. And actually, if you take the skin off an orange and you put it in water, it sinks. And that sometimes we're a bit like that. We can get up out of bed in the morning and we, before the day's even started, we feel like we're sinking and we're drowning already and we're going, oh my goodness, if only I was floating, I wasn't trying to scrabble all day to the top of the water. But if you put an orange in water with its skin on, it floats, which is quite cool because that could be what I was using the illustration. It was the armor of God. It's like armor. This thing was dressed correctly and it floated and it could get on with the things that it needed to do rather than just trying to struggle to float. So why do we need our spiritual armor? I believe we need the spiritual armor that it talks about in Ephesians because if we don't have our spiritual armor on, we can spend so much of our days just fighting to do stuff we shouldn't necessarily have to be fighting with. I think one of the illustrations I had, I was praying for somebody at another church and the lady said, you know, I wish my husband was here today and bless him. It started off with a dripping pipe this morning, but we've ripped the whole bathroom out now and it's going to be a big job. And sometimes life can be like that. Why was it just a drip at the beginning of the day? But by the time I've got to the end of the day, I'm renovating everything. And I feel like I might as well just start it again. In fact, let's just buy a new house just from the one. And life can feel like that sometimes. And I think as I was listening to folk and off the back of our last message, when we were talking about repurposing our lives, what is my life about? What is God calling me to do, to be? What has he made me like, which is different from everybody else? How do I press into that? And one of the things I really felt was unless we've got this spiritual armor on, we're going to be wrestling just even with the basics. So last week I gave that example, I mentioned it a minute ago, about our metaphorical pants. We don't be caught with our pants down or tripping over things because we need to know God's truth. And when we know the truth, it sets us free and we can build our lives on that truth. But like that example with Sky News, is the truth enough anymore? And what even is the truth? I don't know. Are you one of these people that gets one of these emails when it comes around and you think, oh, really? Yeah, and share it with 50,000 friends and then you'll be rich as well and all this other stuff. Do you ever look at that and go, is that fake news? I've got a wonderful auntie that sends me these things and every time she sends it, I think, oh, quick, let's, before she sends it to another 50,000 people. And I look and it's hoax. And yet we've got to be really careful as Christians because if people see that we've got credibility and they think, well, actually, I trust the Christians. They seem to know what they're talking about. And then we peddle lies, not intentionally, but we've put this stuff around. We've got to know the truth. And we've got to be really careful, I believe, with what we share with people, particularly online. These things can go viral. I can't remember the last one that I had, but we went, obviously must have gone all the way around the world and then ended up with one of my kids as well. And you just kind of think, wow, that's gone through every network of person, old and young, around the world. And it was an utter lie. Something, it sounded plausible. There were some Christians being persecuted somewhere. It sounds plausible. But actually, all the facts were wrong and this place didn't even exist. And we've got to be really careful because we can go, oh, you've got to come and join us and pray for this stuff. But it's just not true. And we've got to be really careful. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. So first and foremost, we need to know God's truth. We need to buckle that belt up, stand firm on the truth of God's word. And I closed last week with the words, we need to be thinking truth. And that actually kind of comes on to where we're going to pick up a bit of the message this week. Our reading in Ephesians said, didn't it, 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. What are we feeding on? So this leads really nicely onto the next piece of the armour, which is the breastplate of righteousness this morning. And it really complements one of the pieces of armour, or the piece of armour that we put on last week. Armour, as far as a breastplate was concerned, and actually we got you to dress up in it last time. I went to the Roman Lunt Fort. Have you ever been to the Lunt Fort? Up at where Baggington Way, isn't it? He really knows his stuff up there, and you don't want to get it wrong because he will tell you if you've got it wrong. But he gave us proper armour, and it was really interesting. It was proper big stuff, wasn't it? That shield was huge and everything. But the armour was particularly, it wasn't just that big. Sometimes you see that breastplate is a big whole solid piece, but actually when you look at some of the Roman armour, it's actually quite practical. It's not something you put on and you're quite robotic. It's actually quite flexible, but it's really strong, and it also does another purpose. It guards our vital organs, so things like livers and lungs and hearts and all other bits and pieces that are quite important to be alive. You get stabbed through the heart, you pretty much know that could be a fatal wound. So this armor protects us. And what I'm going to kind of flow with the message this morning, because this is where I think God is leading us with this one, is that if our hearts are protected and guarded, then the outflow, the overflow of our hearts is going to be righteousness. So if our hearts are protected or guarded, then the outworking of this protection is righteousness. Are you happy with that this morning? Does that sound about right? Because I felt, for those that were here when we did the guardrails message and that repurpose message, it seems to make sense to pick this up again. Because we've got to look at having a pure heart. And again, it's interesting how time flies by. We did the Beatitudes. When did we do the Beatitudes? Yeah, it was 2017. I mean, it's like 2019 now. It's 2 years ago that we did the Beatitudes. It doesn't seem possible, does it, when I looked at that? 2017, we were looking at the Beatitudes. And actually, one of the things we were reading about, apart those Beatitudes, Matthew 5 says, blessed are those, verse 6 even, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There you go, you can see it on the screen. And then if you jump down to verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. We've got this breastplate of righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but also note, you will be persecuted. And if you are persecuted, what's the best thing to have? A bit of armor. So you can kind of see how this is starting to pull itself together. And with that quiz earlier, we saw that actually on a daily basis, and I think certainly for our young people, it's a struggle sometimes. There are so many influences, even on a daily basis, that are tempting us and trying to draw us into a certain way. Now, you might say watching a movie, it's a trivial matter. But I think it's just recognizing that we're constantly under attack. Wherever we go, it is a daily battle. And I asked the question last week, can we take the armor off? Or should we take the armor off? Hopefully we're not taking the armor off. And as we go through these things each week, hopefully you would start to say, well, you can't really take the armor off, can you? We've either got the armor or we haven't got the armor. Or we're going to reject it and push it to one side. But I don't think it's a taking it off thing. We can't really take truth off. If we know truth, truth sets us free. We can't really take it off unless we believe something else. And Romans 12:2 told us this, guard your heart from all the bad stuff in this world. We had this actually at Kids Club, and it was a great verse. You know, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's a then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's more than just confirming something. It's more than just having details about something and knowing right from wrong. We're called to be active, aren't we? To test all things. And how do we test things? Well, actually, if we've got our belt of truth on, hopefully you know what the truth is and we can line up with the truth. You don't want to know what I think this morning. I think Terry said it before. You don't want to know what I think. I don't want to know what you think. But we all want to know what the Bible says, don't we? And that's the truth. We want to be able to say to people, look, you might not like this, but it is written. It is written. And that's not my beef. I'm here to help you understand that because I stand in the same place as you. But it is written, and that will either set me free or it's going to be a burden to you this morning. I think it's crazy, actually. I was really reflecting on this. I've seen a few videos this week of people going into various communities and preaching God's word and being street preachers, doing a bit of street evangelism stuff. And actually, when the truth is presented to somebody, and you do see on these videos sometimes, don't you? Oh, the penny's just dropped. And you know the person's got it. But now they've got it, they still reject it. They still say, oh, you know, it conflicts with what I believe. And even though that might be true, I choose to reject it because I much prefer where I am now. And then they'll probably even go one step further and justify their position anyway, even though they've heard the truth and the truth could set them free. One of the things we looked at with the young people just briefly was who guards your heart? Who guards your heart? And I want you just to think about that, because it's your heart, and who guards it? Who's going to look after it? We looked at some messages previously about being in the right relationship with God and doing what's right. The outworking of our godly hearts, I believe, will be righteousness. But let's just chuck some Bible verses out there. And if you've got your notice sheet with you this morning, you'll see I've put the Bible verses in there. So by all means, sit down and have a look and reflect on some of these afterwards. But it's always great to see what Jesus says about this. What Jesus says about being a pure heart, or when our hearts are conflicted. Are we in that right relationship with God? Jesus says you need a pure heart, and this needs to be for God. And when Jesus was asked, Matthew 22, verse 36, says, teacher, they were trying to test him again, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied with these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So what we need is pure hearts. And this is why I thought it's quite interesting about the breastplate of righteousness that's protecting our hearts. If it's going to protect our hearts and we need pure hearts, it's something that is transformed on the inside. And we're talking about armor here, but we're also talking about spiritual armor, aren't we? How do we know what is on the inside? How do we know what's inside somebody? And actually spend a few moments with somebody, and what's on the inside invariably comes out. Certainly if you're a pastor and you're listening to people in pastoral care, you just need to sit there and say, so, don't need to say anything else, and it will all come out. And actually, Matthew 15:8, Jesus is talking us again and says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things can defile them. If you jump back a few verses, a few chapters to Matthew 12 at the end of verse 34, depending on what your version says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is why I think the heart is so important. If our hearts are broken or heavy, then I know God wants to heal those broken hearts. The beautiful thing about Jesus' words and the Beatitudes is that they really speak life. They set us free. They can give us that new direction, that whole sense of grace abounding. We live differently as a result of what God has done. And we have the opportunity to change the atmosphere around us. It can change our community, as well as our churches and our households and our families. And I've asked this question before. Do you need open heart surgery this morning? Yeah, I went to church this morning. I had some open heart surgery. It might sound a bit radical, but actually, do we need that? And do we need to say, actually, Lord, you need to come and change my heart? Why? Because blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I think that's the best thing about being a Christian, is some of the tools and the armor, essentially, that God gives us. Because we don't have to do everything on our own. It doesn't rely upon me. It doesn't rely upon my strength. It doesn't depend if Darren gets it right. It's going to be all right. I can completely mess up, and God is still good, and his plan will still happen. And actually, sometimes it's just as well if we do step aside sometimes and say, actually, God, I want to let you get on with this. Why would I carry all of those things? You see, other religions will tell you how to get right with the so-called deity or deities, with their gods, small g's, or how to appease them even. You know, if we do all this stuff, the gods won't be angry with us and come and smite us. I mean, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Would you like to follow a god like that? We live in the fear and reverence of a holy God. But actually, if I don't do whatever, then I'm going to get smited. What a way to live. We live differently because we live by grace. Why? Because he first loved us. And as we were praying out the back this morning, it was wonderful. Somebody was praying and said, you know, I look back at my life. And the stuff that I thought was for me, I can now see God was still working that out. And it'll be for his purpose in the future. God's grace is amazing. He first loved us. There was a song I remember listening to. I've mentioned it before. But there's no such thing as the wasted years. You know, I was about 20-something when I came to faith. And I thought, I've wasted 20 years of my life when I could have been serving God. And this song said, there's no such thing as the wasted years. Fall on the rock and he will restore all that's lost. Does anybody know that song? Remember that song? It was a great song. Fall on, there's no such thing as the wasted years. He will restore all that is lost. And if you're sat here this morning thinking, oh, but I've wasted so much time and I've got to this point in my life. And, you know, God can take all of those things before. And you may well look back and say, wow. God was already at work in my life. But we've got to accept what God is calling us to now. If you haven't accepted his gift of life, those freedoms that it brings to you, and you're still trying to do stuff in your own strength, then you're like that rich young man who had done everything to please God. He tried to earn his salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 19:24, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for that rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And obviously back in the day, if you were rich, you were seen as blessed. You were seen as somebody that was being honored by God in those things. What was this all about? The young man asked this question, then who can be saved? And I love it. Matthew 19:26. Jesus replies, with man, this is impossible. You can't get a camel through the eye of a needle. What are you talking about? With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We've got a God who's made a way for us. And this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the stuff that we're going to be sharing maybe at the care home later on today, isn't it? We're going to be saying to folk, look, this is good news. We've got a good God. And actually, you might need some open heart surgery this morning. But actually, when we get that heart surgery, if the bad stuff can be cut out and we have pure hearts, then we're going to be stepping into eternity with God who loves us so very much. He's not a bully. He offers us the gift of life. The psalmist says this, Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. I quite like the second part. Create in me a pure heart, O God. We can all say amen to that. But what about the next bit? And renew a steadfast spirit in me. Are you a bit tired this morning? Does it seem hard? Does it seem confusing? Is there so much fake news out there that you just don't know which way to turn anymore? Oh Lord, will you renew a steadfast spirit in me? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, heart appears here. The heart is really important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And we pray this often, don't you? He will make straight paths for you. You know, I don't know if you're ever on that when you're driving down the road and you get one of those big, long Roman roads. Is it the A5? It must be one of those. Where you just kind of look and it's even on the sat-nav, it's like, whoa, it's dead straight. And you think, this is all right. You know, dead straight path. There's nothing wrong with straight paths. I don't want all the twisty, turny, roller coastery things all the time. They might be fun for 5 minutes, but you're not getting me on one twice. Not if I've got any choice in the matter. Straight paths. the outworking or the outpouring of this pure heart will show a broken world. I mentioned it a moment ago to the young people. We can just show. We don't have to preach. We don't have to have the clever words. We just show a broken world that has evil thoughts, commits murderous acts, and the things we see on our TVs. There is on the prowl all sorts of things in all sorts of society. A world is conflicted and broken. And I think it's reflected on the stuff that's on the telly. I don't watch EastEnders. I couldn't actually think of anything worse. If you do, that's up to you. I'll pray for you at the end. Come and see me. But I looked on Netflix the other day because as a family, we like to watch a family movie. And honestly, if you were to pull up Netflix now, I would say... And I don't know I don't know how Netflix works. We probably don't use it enough for it to have preferences. But the amount of occult or just vile. I mean, if you watch Game of Thrones, that's your lookout as well. Come, I'll pray for you as well. You can have a double portion this morning. But what is it that we're filling our minds with? And there's things like Lucifer and this and all. And they're like trendy series. And I look at this stuff on Netflix and I go, isn't there anything wholesome to watch? You know, isn't there anything that's edifying? Why would I want to fill my mind with those things? And actually, I see it on social media as well, and amongst Christians. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think some of this stuff is utter filth. And yet it's seen to be, oh, I can't wait for the latest episode. What are we filling our minds with? I'm not judging you this morning if you're a Game of Thrones fan. I'm really not. I've only obviously caught the wrong bit on a trailer somewhere. But what are we filling our minds with? Is it good? Is it wholesome? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? Is it honouring God? If it's not, why are you watching it? Genuinely, why are you watching it? What are you giving the enemy a landing strip to come in and land on? If you're feeling under conviction this morning, I do apologise. You can come and punch me afterwards. But the thing is, are we protecting our hearts? Are we guarding our hearts? And this is why I think the spiritual armour is important. Because the last thing we looked at with the young people a few moments ago was the question of what do we feed ourselves on? What do we feed our minds with? I think if you feed your mind with rubbish, you'll probably have rubbish thoughts. If you feed your mind with negativity, you're probably going to be quite negative about yourself. If you feed your mind with horror stuff, you'll never empty the bin when it's dark at night at the end of the garden, will you? Who has that end of the garden feeling? You ever done that? You go down the end of the garden, you do the bin, you go, I'm macho, I can empty the bin in the dark. And then you start to go back and you start to get the skip on it. By the time you've got back door, you're locking it really quick, like, you know, all the locks and everything. Oh, I'm really tough. But where does that come from? What is that all about? You run upstairs and then get under the duvet, don't you? And go, the duvet, you know, will protect me from everything. Yeah? This little thin piece of whatever. But why do we do that? What do we feed our minds with that allows those things to come in? The bottom of the garden feeling, come on. Now, I found some few questions, just closing in our time here this morning, just some questions. I'll flick them up on the screen. I'm not going to talk a lot into them, but I just want you to maybe think about some of these. I don't think I put these in the notice sheet. It might have been useful to do. Maybe I'll share them online or something, but I found these quite useful as I was going through, and I nicked them from somebody else, so I don't claim to have written these, but I was quite inspired by these. What am I believing about God? And I just want you to think for a moment. I'm not going to give you all the answers, but what am I believing about God? Do I believe his word? Do you believe he's faithful? Do you believe he's sovereign and good and loving? What am I believing about God? Am I trusting in his promises? Or do you believe he doesn't really care for you? What do you believe about God? Another question. Am I giving thanks constantly? Or am I constantly giving thanks to God? You see, gratefulness produces joy. Do you have a grateful heart? Would you say you are full of joy? Noting and recalling blessings. When you remember those things, it turns you to God again in that moment, doesn't it? Good question. When was the last time you thanked Jesus for saving you? When was the last time you did that? Take a moment and do that now. Am I constantly giving thanks to God? Do you have that joy of your salvation? Just call that to mind for a moment. Are you thanking God in everything? Do you believe everything works for good? That's a toughie, isn't it? Am I constantly giving thanks? If we're grumbling or complaining and something's amiss, do we need heart surgery this morning? Am I constantly giving thanks? I want you to reflect on these for a moment. You see, if you're not guarding your heart with some of these questions, then what is influencing your heart? Another big question here. Am I giving in? Or giving in to any condemnation? Am I giving in to any condemnation? Are you living constantly in the good news of the gospel? Or do you forget the good news that Jesus paid for all your sins, all my failures, all my mistakes? Do I fall into self-pity at my failures or weaknesses? Am I constantly dwelling on my regrets? Has anybody got a record player that in their head and stuff goes round? Yeah, one or two maybe. Keeps going round and round and round. Smash that record. That's the one we need to take to God, isn't it? We need to get rid of that. Am I giving in to any condemnation? It's not true. Smash it. It's not true. It might be, as per the last message, you need to establish some guardrails in your life. Remember the guardrails? Those things that keep us in the safety zone before we go crashing off. If that thing comes along, you think, oh, I know where this is going. We instantly, Holy Spirit, lights up our conscience and we say, I'm not going that way anymore. Who is looking after your heart? You need to smash those records if they're going round in your head. Another reflection. Am I casting my cares onto God? How can we cast our cares onto God? We've got all the armour on and we pray. Doesn't work though, does it? Does it? Really? So are you casting all your cares onto God with your prayer? Do you believe it really works? I know yes is the right answer. It's the answer I want to hear. Do I believe God really answers my prayer? Do I believe he's got the power to help me change any situation or change my perspective of any situation? I'm asking for his help or I'm trying to solve all the problems on my own again. You see, if we've got a lack of prayer, it's a lack of faith, isn't it? When did you last pray? Now some of you are going to say, "When I pray continually." Do you believe God answers prayer? Are you casting your cares onto God? He is able. Let's have another couple of questions. I'm conscious of time, but I just want to give us a time just to reflect. I'm throwing lots of questions at you. But just have a moment, because I want God to speak. And it might be for a different point this morning. Every one of us here suddenly goes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How am I interpreting my life? How am I interpreting my life? Am I interpreting it from a biblical framework? if you're one of these people that puts equations out or works out and maps everything out, does God appear in that equation in your life? Do I believe God is in control and working everything out for good? Maybe more about obviously our needs than our wants. Or to believe that life is out of control and actually God isn't that interested in mine. He's certainly interested in a few other people's, but he's not actually interested in mine. How do I interpret my life? Is God at the center of that? For those that have been before, you'd have heard my testimony, but you know, when I came to faith and the guy was talking about all the things you wanted in life, the house, the wife, the boat, the car, the whatever, and I'm thinking, I like this preacher, where do I sign up for all of that? If that's what being a Christian's about, I'll have some of that. And as it was, God blessed me, and I went to university, and I met my beautiful wife, and I ended up with the house, the wife, the boat, the car, the successful business, all of those things. And then I felt that God in that moment said, so you've got all that. Are you prepared to give it all up and come and serve me? And I ended up in Coventry. I mean, does it get any better than that? Says the Coventry folk. How am I interpreting my life? Is it about me and what I need? Or is it about following God? Whatever it takes. Maybe this just draws it home a bit more. Am I attracted to any sin or worldly ways? Am I still thinking like the world thinks? Am I craving things of the world? Certainly in my testimony a moment ago, you know, that example, I know I thought if I had all that stuff, I'd have arrived. Is it the lie that he who has the most toys wins and all of that? You know, a young man that's keen, that wants to be successful and wants nice stuff? Was success the thing I was after? Was it possessions? Personal fulfillment? Is there anything in my life that I'm attracted to? Am I flirting with sin in any way? Am I thinking thoughts like, well, actually a little bit won't hurt? Or just this one time and then I'll quit? Or no one will even know if I'm doing this. Mum and Dad wouldn't know. We do it late at night. They'll never know at night. Am I envious of what others have? Am I jealous of what others have? Do you remember the guardrails? Jealousy was that awful thing where we see somebody that seems to get something we haven't got and then it goes wrong for them and we kind of go, yes, I knew, come on. Yeah, no, it's just awful. If we're thinking like that, we've got to say, Lord, we've got to celebrate those things, haven't we? Remember celebrating? How do we get over jealousy? Celebrate that stuff. Don't let it rule you and weigh your heart down and say, if only I. Celebrate those things. I've got a couple more and then we'll finish. Do you fear God? Do I fear God? And how do we know that? Well, actually, if we don't believe God knows everything about us and sees everything we do, every thought, every deed, and that one day I'm going to have to answer for that in my life, we won't fear God. One day we are going to stand before him and he's going to ask us to hold account for all of those things that we've done. Do I do everything for the glory of God, or do I believe God sees everything I do and nothing is hidden from his eyes? Do I fear God? Because he's a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. And last but not least, great question. Am I humble? Am I doing everything from selfish ambition? If we try and correct somebody, we look for that log in our own eye first. Do I listen to others? Am I easy to correct? Am I able to admit I am wrong? Am I teachable? Or am I on my own thoughts, I know best? Do I remember that all I have is a gift from God and every good thing I've accomplished is actually only the Lord's work in me? just pause for a moment, because there's a lot of things I've thrown out there this morning. But if we're going to guard our hearts, we need to understand that we're constantly under attack. And those that are walking with God, how much we should be listening to that still small voice. Just pray for a moment and say, Lord, speak to me afresh this morning. If you believe prayer works.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.